They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Chinese state media sent tech shares tumbling after calling video games a form of spiritual opium. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Shares of Tencent dropped more than 10% before regaining some ground, while its rival NetEase also saw sharp declines of about 15%. That's after the country's Economic Information Daily newspaper described online games as electronic drugs. In a story published today, state media criticized widespread internet addiction among young people in China, though the paper later deleted a line describing the problem as spiritual opium. The government has pledged to strengthen rules around online gaming to protect children. And hours after the share sell-off began, Tencent said it will implement its own set of controls. The BBC's Andrew Wood has more on that.
Players who are under 12, they won't be allowed to spend money in the key game Honor of Kings. That's the flagship game for Tencent. There'll be time restrictions on minors as well. They'll only be allowed to play for an hour on days that are normal days, aren't holidays, down from 1.5 hours. And on holidays, they'll be allowed to play for 2 hours, down from 3 hours.
This scrutiny from state media today comes just a week after a big, widespread regulatory crackdown from Chinese regulators. Why does it appear gaming is now in the crosshairs?
Well, strictly speaking, it's not actually the regulators are doing it. This came from a state-owned media publication that, you know, accused these games of being harmful to children and students. It's still a key thing that Beijing government doesn't seem to like what's going on in some of its big tech companies. I think Beijing has looked to see what's happening in America and Europe with big technology companies. It's clear they think that some big companies have far too much power, and they're worried that that might happen also in China too. And I mean, there's plenty of people, I think, in, you know, around the world who are worried about their children spending too long on computer games. And I think this is a way that China, the Communist Party, can say, look, we're worried too. We're doing something about it. We're doing something about it decisively. It's not like in the West where people can spend years discussing these things. Lawsuits can take ages. Politicians can, you know, have inquiries and nothing happens. We in the Communist Party, unlike in the West, can do things now.
The BBC's Andrew Wood for us in Hong Kong. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, declines across shares of video game-focused tech companies put a bit of pressure on benchmarks across Asia today. The Shanghai Composite Index and the Nikkei fell 0.5%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dipped 0.2%. Here in Europe, shares of French drug maker Sanofi are up 0.6%. That's on news it'll buy American biotech company Translate Bio for $3.2 billion. Sanofi says the acquisition will help it deploy mRNA technology into vaccines and other therapeutics. To eastern Kenya now, where farmers of a plant called cat, which is used as a stimulant, have fallen on hard times. That's because of a diplomatic spat with neighboring Somalia and bans on the bitter leaves from several other nations. Farmers are now turning to sunflowers, though, to supplement their incomes, as the BBC's Ferdinand Omondi reports.
Last year, Lois, a mother of two, had to go back home after losing her job in a private school during the COVID-19 pandemic. She's one of about 3,000 cat farmers who have diversified into sunflowers, and she badly needs the money.
Actually, sunflower has been of great benefit to most of the farmers.
But in this part of the country, cat isn't just a cash crop. It is embedded in the culture of the people, and so many farmers would be unwilling to uproot it. However, we spot farms where sunflowers are thriving in between cat trees.
I couldn't help it.
This type of mixed farming is an initiative supported by environmentalists too. A local climate action group has been encouraging locals to grow sunflowers, not as a replacement, but as a supplement.
More often, they grow maize, but because of shifting seasons, erratic rainfall, they never harvest.
Mithika Mwenda is the executive director of the Pan-African Climate Justice Alliance.
So we have been trying to discuss with them what alternative crops we could bring them. So we realized that sunflower does very well here, but the only challenge they had is that they do not have markets.
In search of a steady market, the farmers have struck a deal with a major food manufacturer based in Kenya. It uses sunflower seeds for the products it sells across more than 15 countries. The company, Bidco Africa, offers farming support during the planting and weeding phases in exchange for buying off all produce at harvest time. Vimal Shah is the chairman of Bidco Africa.
What they wanted to see is there a guaranteed market for the produce? We said we guarantee the market. We give them off-take contracts. Whoever wants it in writing, we give it to them in writing. But again, they need to see proof of concept that are you really buying? And that became a crux.
A local manufacturer says the current demand for it is actually more than existing farmers can meet, which is all good news for farmers in eastern Kenya who hope the sunflowers will be bringing them a brighter future. In Meru, Kenya, I'm the BBC's Ferdinand Omondi for Marketplace.
Well, when it comes to the future of work, which camp are you in? Back to the office ASAP or WFH for the foreseeable future? Well, the British government's Treasury Secretary equivalent added his two cents to the conversation, as the BBC's Rob Young explains.
Rishi Sunak says for young people, physically being in an office is valuable, adding he doubted he would have done as well if he had started his working life virtually. Mr. Sunak worked in finance, including at the banking giant Goldman Sachs. Many British businesses are taking a cautious approach, continuing to allow staff to log on from home. Some expect to adopt hybrid working, some office time, some home working permanently.
Well, Rob's been speaking to another former Goldman banker, Xavier Rolet, who ran the London Stock Exchange. He disagrees with Mr. Sunak and says tech does have a bigger role to play in work relationships. He says we will, quote, never go back to exactly the way we were before. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.